This morning what we're going to do is we're going to try to set the table in our minds by referring to a great psalm that is familiar to most people, whether churched or unchurched, and that is Psalm 23. So if you want to get your Bibles out and go to Psalm 23, we're going to be going through this. I remember hearing years ago about a great gathering of orators, and as they gathered together, they thought it would be a good stroke of business for them to open up with a classic piece from the writings of those who went before. And so somebody thought, hey, Psalm 23 would be a great place to go. Let's use that. We'll open up our meetings with Psalm 23. And so they thought, well, who are we going to have read this? And they asked a gentleman that they thought, well, he's an orator's orator. I mean, this guy has got all of the accoutrement, spits, polish, and all of the good things going on as far as his abilities to speak, and he will certainly wow the crowd. And indeed he did. He got up, he began to recite this particular psalm, and he did it with eloquence, and it was just amazing. Everybody was like, wow, that was great, and that was wonderful. And he took a seat. But somebody got the idea that since there was a minister in the room and had not realized that he was there, they thought they should honor him and let him stand and say a few words. In fact, they asked him his ability and his understanding of the psalm, and he said, would you be willing to go ahead and reread that? I mean, we think it would be nice to hear it with a little bit of a ministerial tone. And of course, a lot of things come to mind when you think of a ministerial tone. I don't think I'm any of them. I don't know. But This man was asked to stand, and he was an old man. He had been in ministry for years. He was a battle-worn soldier for Christ. And as he stood and he took his place, he began to recite the Shepherd's Psalm. And as he did, the very first words, his voice broke. And he got no further than the second verse, and he began to weep profusely. But he managed to maintain enough composure to make his way through. And by the time he got finished with the psalm, there was not a dry eye in the place. What I would like us to do this morning, as we set our minds around the table, as we come close and draw near, I would like for us to go to this psalm, and I would like for us to pull back the veil a little bit. Because the thing about these two people who spoke this shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23... is one of them knew the psalm, but one of them knew the shepherd. And you can read this and you can say, oh, I've heard that before, but have you really heard it? Well, I hope that God will give us the ability to bring it out in some sort of light that maybe you've not seen before. We're going to go verse by verse, tarry a little and go on. But I want to draw your attention, first of all, to the last verse, verse 6 of Psalm 23. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it is this verse that brought my mind to the table, because the table is represented in two elements, the fruit of the vine and the broken bread. And I believe they line up wonderfully with the words, goodness and mercy. We'll see that in a moment. But would you let your eye go back now to verse 1? The Bible says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Our Bible tells us, when we begin to take Scripture and compare it with Scripture, that the eyes of man are never satisfied. And yet this psalmist had come to a place in his life where he said, I lack no thing. There's nothing I want. I don't need anything. He was King David, and he was a man who was in his later years, as we find from researching this psalm. He's a man who's well advanced in years. He takes pen in hand and remembers the day when he was a little shepherd boy out there taking on a bear and a lion and protecting a flock of sheep. Mindless sheep. And he takes his position among them. He said, I got nothing. I'm like a sheep. And the older he got, the more he realized he was just like a sheep. And we know in our Bibles that it also says that Jesus spoke of himself as being a good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But he says in John 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. He's our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He's the shepherd who takes care of us. When you know you're taken care of, there's some things that happen inevitably. In verse 2, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now you can read that, you say, "Oh, that's beautiful, that's allegory, and that's all pretty and nice poetic terms," but for David it meant something. Because in David's heart, he realized something about Jesus that was pre-incarnation. It was before Jesus ever came. He realized that the God who answered by fire to Elijah, the God who made the mountain to smoke with Moses when he gave the law, he realized that this God, though awesome and though terrible in his presence, he realized this God was a God who drew near, a God who came close, a God who loved and who cared for his own. He had learned that in his life. When you come to this table, you will come periodically. You will come sometimes in your enthusiasm of newness. You just got saved and it's like, wow, that's really cool. I never realized that about the table. I never realized how cool it was to interact and participate in something that was so personal. As you get a little older, you're like, oh man, it's the Lord's table. I've been drifting and I've been slipping. And oh man, Lord, I need to do a little updating of my list here. I need to get current, man. I got some stuff between me and you. As you get a little older, your arms begin to get weak and you say, "You know what? I've been trying, God." And sometimes you feel like you just want to walk away because you feel like such a failure. And if you never get there, it's because you're not trying. Because when you try to walk with God, you begin to realize how awesome and holy He is. And what's funny is that our first instinct is to try to do it in our own strength. You're going to try to do it in your own strength, and you cannot. Your own strength will say, "This is what must please God," and you'll come up with all these ideas. This must be what would please Him. And what you don't realize is that He delights in you because you're His. Just like you delight in your children when they're babies and they don't give you anything back. They give you a cry, they give you a whine, you know? They give you a mess on your shirt or your coat, you know? But you love them and they're yours and you love them, and every step of progress just delights your soul, and that's how God looks at us. And you're going to try to do it in your own strength. And you're going to come to this table, you're going to feel like a failure sometimes. But I want you to know, if you'll just hang on and hang in there, He'll get you to the place where you'll lie down. And the word "lie down" is the idea of resting. He wants you to rest. He wants you to lay it down. He wants you to give up all of your ideals. And He wants you to take Him at His word and believe Him. Because He loves you so much that He knew what you needed. He knew exactly what you needed. You needed complete and total salvation. If anything was left to you or me, guess what? We'd mess it up. Salvation and sanctification are all part of one of our things called the pilgrimage in which we walk. But some people have erred thinking sanctification was something we arrive at down here. We don't. We don't arrive at perfect sanctification down here. We are on a journey. And if you're becoming more and more sanctified, it's an issue of progress, not an issue of perfection. And the sooner you get your mind around that, the better you'll be. For me, I go out and I play with some of these young bucks in softball, and I'm out there swinging that bat, and I'm swinging away, and I can't get it out of the infield. No, it's not that bad, but almost. It's almost that bad. But what's funny is I'm trying to play this game, softball, and I'm like, I played this as a kid. This is my game. We made it up back in the dark ages. I mean, this was our game. And these young guys come up and they swing through, not even breaking a sweat. And they say, "Well, I think I'll pick that field over there and make a home run. If I was big enough, I'd walk up and slap them." I'd say, "What? It's not that bad." But what I'm saying is that when I realized that I couldn't hit a home run, but maybe I could put it somewhere where I'd get a base, I began to relax. That didn't take me long, because when you're my age, you begin to realize that pretty early. But when you're younger, you think you can hit the fence every time. You think nobody can stop you. You're all full of just enthusiasm. But what I want you to know is He makes us to lie down. He makes us to rest. And you know what that means? That means even though you're struggling against a thicket, and you're struggling with some sin in your life, or you're struggling with ideas and what's right, what's wrong, what means something, what doesn't mean anything, He knows where you are. And He'll bring to bear the source, the pressure that needs to be brought to bear to get you to lay down. And you know, when a sheep, we're talked about in Isaiah 53, right? The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, turned each to our own way. And every one of us have. That's what it says. You've done it, I've done it. We've all been off in the field somewhere, and the Lord's had to come and seek us out. And there we were, humiliated, embarrassed. And He reaches down and begins to move one thorn from another out of the wool of our coat, and He begins to pull us out, and He takes us. And you know what's interesting? I've learned in years past that shepherds of the Eastern world, Middle Eastern world, would take a sheep that had gone astray many times. Not one that goes once, but one that has a propensity to go astray. Now, maybe some of you in here. Some of y'all may, I can go astray. I can do my own thing. I got this, Lord. I don't need You. Well, if you're His sheep, He's going to do what you need. And in the Middle East, if a sheep was prone to go astray and go astray and go astray, He'd take that sheep, and what would He do? He'd break its leg. You say, well, that's a good shepherd. I want one of them. You going to break my leg? He'd break their leg. But He wouldn't break His leg and then throw Him out there to the wolves, because obviously if He broke its leg and put it out there again, that sheep would be, easy prey to any kind of savage beast out there. No, He would take that sheep. He would break its leg. And it would squeal, obviously, as only sheep can. But then He would set the leg, and He would carry that sheep in His cloak, underneath His coat, until it healed. And what is amazing about that is that shepherds had learned long ago that when this kind of thing had to take place, by the time that limb had healed, that sheep, when He let it down, that little lamb, usually it was lambs that were done this to, the lamb would then be put down, and that lamb would never be outside of the reach of that shepherd for the rest of its days. Because it had grown to love the shepherd in ways he couldn't have otherwise. He had heard the heartbeat of the shepherd. Pretty interesting stuff. Jesus advisedly chose to be equated with a shepherd, right? He did. He knew. He knew what it meant, how it worked. And the Bible tells us of this shepherding that David experienced. What does it say? He says, God, You have made the bones that You have broken to rejoice. He learned to glory in his infirmity, like Paul said, because when he was weak, God was strong in him. Guys, you and I need to realize Jesus wants to make us lie down, and we keep struggling to stand up. I got this. I got this. He's no, lay down. I got it. And how does He make us lie down? Well, the Bible says in verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I like that. Now, what I want you to know is I went to Bob Evans the other day, and I hope nobody's offended because you got stock in Bob Evans, but I don't really care much for Bob Evans. Not so much. I mean, I like their pancakes. I mean, who could not like their pancakes? Can I get a witness? I got 3 pancake eaters. Okay, crepes. Okay, French toast. Anything with a whole lot of syrup on it. Can't go wrong. But I got a wrap. And my wrap was dry. And I was suspecting it might be. So I asked the guy, is this a wrap that is kind of sweet? Or has it got anything on it? He said, it's got ranch dressing on it. I know I'm messing with you. It's about lunchtime. It's coming up on the top of the hour. But if you look at the clock, it's only 4:45. So you're way up early. You got plenty of time before lunch. Okay, I'm just saying. It's broke. I'm just saying. But I got this and I thought, I'm thinking, I'm seeing this picture. Have you seen a picture? Picture looks great. It's like, man, this thing looks good. Looks what? Looks luscious. You know the word? Luscious. Luscious means you get double duty out of your sandwich. You not only get a good something to chew upon, but you get good, moist, maybe ranch dressing or a bunch of mayonnaise. All right. I know. If I keep working this, I won't even go to dessert. Okay, I don't want to lose you. But we're talking a wrap with all this turkey on it and tomatoes. And it should have had a lot of mayonnaise on it. But it didn't. And I was disappointed in my sandwich. What's a sheep like? Well, he's not too much for a club wrap, but he really likes grass. Not only does he like grass, but he likes grass that has been kissed by the dew. I almost thinking about how they must like it. I'm thinking, yeah, probably would be pretty good. Got a lot of good dew in there. But for a sheep, it's the best thing you could have. It's luscious. Now, what is this? He leads me in the path. Well, I'm ahead of myself. He makes me lie down. Green pastures. How? There's a story told of the sun and the wind beginning to talk, and they said, you know, I think I can make that gentleman on the street take his coat off quicker. The wind challenged it. I can do it faster. And so they took up the challenge, and the wind began to blow and began to blow harder and harder. And the man, he's trying to get him to take his coat off. And all the man did was put the coat on.